This morning, I would like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles right to our parable today. It's Matthew 13. We're going to jump right into the parable this morning. Matthew 13 and verse 44 is where we are going to start. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. So this is the king, the parable of the treasures. Matthew 13, 44 through 46, Jesus says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Short and sweet. There's not a lot there, and yet there is so much there. Jesus has not said many words, but he has said so much. Because this is like one of the most profound statements of the good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God in all of scripture. In a nutshell, Jesus says this, the kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything we have, and it is worth giving up everything we have to receive it. The kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything we have and worth giving everything to receive it. I want to unpack those two points today here. First, the kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything we have. In the parable, we meet two people. First, we meet a man who is out in a field. The chances are good that this is a day laborer. He's out working in the field. He's working for the boss, hoeing the field, and, you know, and all of a sudden his hoe hits something hard, punk. And he gets down on his knees and starts to pull away the dirt. And all of a sudden, he finds this treasure hidden in a field. Jewels of all sorts. In the ancient Near East, they didn't have banks. And so if there was a warring conflict coming, you would hide your valuable stuff in a pot and bury it. And sometimes a tragic event would happen, and that meant that that treasure would be lost there in the field. It might have been there many generations, even before this guy arrived. This guy now, this farmer, is looking face to face with this pile of jewels that is worth more than he has ever seen. And so he does the math real quick. Do you remember back in grade school, greater than, less than, you know, that kind of thing? The shark wants the bigger. That's what I learned. The shark wants the bigger thing. Well, this man realizes that the treasure that he sees before him is more valuable than anything that he owns. And so he decides that he's going to give up what's less to take hold of what's better. I mean, you could say that this guy is sacrificing all that he has, but all that he has pales in comparison with the value of what he is going to take hold of by letting go of that. The same thing happens with the pearl merchant. He's out there, he's searching the world, he's looking for big, beautiful pearls, and he comes across this pearl that is more breathtaking, more lustrous, more, I don't know, big than any pearl he has ever seen in his life. And just like the guy in the field, he does the math, right? He goes, here's what I've got. Here is what is before me. Which way do you think the shark is going to go? He's going to go for the treasure, right? He takes the thing that is more valuable. By telling us these parables, Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of heaven is like that for us. The kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything we currently have. Jesus is telling us that redemption from sin, relationship with God, the riches of an eternal life with him far outweighs anything and everything that we have in our life. The kingdom of God is worth more than anything we have. Well, if that's the case, how do we take hold of it? How do we receive that great treasure? Well, that's where the second part comes in. The kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything we have and worth giving everything to receive. That's what happens in this parable, right? The farmer says, here's the treasure, here's what I own. What I stand to gain is worth far more than what I have. I would be a fool not to take this because it is so valuable. I am going to give up what I have to take hold of something greater. Same with the pearl merchant. He says, here is everything I own. It's going to take everything I have to take a hold of this treasure, and yet I'd be a fool not to do so. I'm going to give it all up to get it all. Same for us. Jesus is telling us that by giving up everything, we take hold of something even greater. Dale Bruner writes, the simple fact that Matthew repeats this idea, he sold everything he had in both 44 and 46, indicates the seriousness that Matthew, that Jesus, anticipates that we will respond in this. We give it all up to gain it all. But here's the thing. In the parable, the people sell everything that they have to take hold of the treasure, right? The farmer sells his belonging to buy the treasure. The pearl merchant sells all of his things to take hold of it. Does that mean that we sell everything to take the kingdom? Is it a financial transaction like that? For some people, like, you know, the rich young ruler that you'll recognize if you've read the Gospels before, the answer is yes, that is what it takes. If financial and monetary things is what is taking first place in your heart, then yes, you probably do need to literally sell off all of those things so that you can take hold of the kingdom with all that you are. But frankly, I think that Jesus is talking about more than money here. He's talking about our values. He's talking about our priorities. He's talking about the things that we give first place in our lives, what it is that we are living for. Jesus is calling us to let go of these things so that we can take hold of the kingdom of God with both hands. And frankly, I think that Jesus is saying in this parable what he says a little bit later on in straight up teaching form in Matthew 16:24. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, like hold on to it, is going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. In the language of the parable, whoever gives up everything gains everything. But whoever holds on to what they have loses it all. If the farmer had clung to what he had, he would have lost the treasure of the lifetime. If the pearl merchant had clung on to it, he would have lost, it would have been a net loss for him. But giving it up, he gained it all. It's the same for us. When we lay everything at Jesus' feet, our priorities, our possessions, our pride, when we get off the throne of our own hearts and let Jesus be king, we gain everything in return. By giving it up, we gain it all. And again, I think that this would be a mistake to think about in terms of sacrifice. I mean, for one, we're not giving up anything to gain relationship with God. I used the language of receive the kingdom very intentionally because this is not this transaction that we do. It is rather, Jesus, I come to you a sinner. I confess my need for you, and in believing that you are good and good enough to love somebody like me, I receive that treasure. And then having received that treasure, I put everything else at Jesus' feet for use in his kingdom because he is the most important piece in my life. He laid down his life to restore us to God. He forgave our sins and committed him to our, committed himself to us to walk with us in life. Yes, we lay everything at his feet, but not to earn his favor. We lay everything at his feet out of gratitude for the treasure that he gives to us. We believe and receive the treasure, then we lay everything at his feet. The kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything we have and worth giving everything we have to receive. So that's the parable. What do we do about it? I would say this. Receive the kingdom as a treasure and treasure it above all else. Receive the kingdom as the treasure that it is and treasure it above all else. Let me just unpack that real quick. Receive the kingdom as a treasure. When I was reading through and praying over these verses all this week, I kept thinking that this sounds a lot like an altar call. You know, as somebody who's been preaching for almost 10 years now, it feels as though Jesus is leading up to the end of his sermon, and he's going to lay this before his audience and say, listen, what are you going to do now that I've laid this reality before you? You can gain the treasure, or you can stick with what you've got. By telling us this parable, I think Jesus is saying exactly that. He's saying, which end are you living for? There is life of peace and purpose and playing a part in God's ever-unfolding, life-giving kingdom with the promise of eternal life and the promise of me walking with you. Or there's the life you have and know now. What are you going to do? Receive the kingdom as a treasure. Okay? If you haven't, then let go of this and invite Jesus to come and bring this treasure home in your heart. Sell off whatever is in your hands right now so that you can take hold of the kingdom with both hands. And notice, this is not the intention, at least the way that Jesus tells it, is that this is not a dreary, like, sell off everything you have and give to the poor sort of situation. This is a, oh my gosh, do I have any idea what I'm receiving? Have you ever had this experience when you go into a store and they're selling something for something for a price way less than you know it's worth? Like, for example, I like to go into used bookstores. And sometimes my wife would like me to not go into used bookstores as often. But you go in and you know, just look around and all of a sudden you realize that there is this book that is so powerful, so meaningful, so important to the flow of Christian thought and Christian history over the years. And it's like, in my mind, that's just worth like $1 million. And they're asking $5 for it. And I'm thinking, okay. Okay, play it cool. Play it cool. Take the book. I wonder if they're gonna like get to the front of the store and go, oh no, sorry, we actually mispriced that. You have to pay like $50 for it or something. But you're like, I'd like to buy this, please. And you make the transaction and you get out of the parking lot with it and you go, oh, that was amazing. I got a hold of this. You ever had that happen? Surely you've had that happen. Maybe not over a book or something. I don't know, a chainsaw? But you know that feeling, right? The joy of, wow, I got this. This is the joy that Jesus calls us or says lays before us when we take hold of the kingdom of heaven. I breezed over it, I think, and I might have even missed it. I'll have to go back and look at the tape. But in that passage, verse 44, what does Jesus say? In his joy, he went out insulted. Because he knew with all of his heart that what he was about to get was better than all that he had to give. So, listen. Receive the kingdom with joy. Receive the kingdom as a treasure. Receive the kingdom as a treasure, and then treasure it above all else. In a sense, I guess that first one, receive the kingdom as a treasure, is more for people who haven't made up of their mind about Jesus yet. And so if you're in that boat, if you're just here for the first time, I want to invite you to think about this. Is this treasure truly something that you want to have? The way that Jesus tells it, it is. Now, if you have had this treasure for a while, if you've been walking with Jesus in your lifetime, you might say, well, okay, what does this mean for me? To you, I would say, treasure the kingdom above all else. Like, do you know what you have? The owner of the field had no idea what he had in that field. In preparing for today, I watched a couple of clips of the Antique Roadshow on YouTube. Do you know the Antique Roadshow? Right? People bring in things that they think are valuable. They have some sense that there may be some inherent value to this thing that they have. It may be that it is very, very valuable in terms of like sentimental family heirlooms and treasures and things. And yet sometimes people bring in something and they have no idea what it's worth. And it is worth far more than they could possibly have ever imagined. I don't want that to be the case for us as Christians. I want you to know what you have and what a treasure you have in the gift of relationship with God, with Jesus walking beside you day by day, that you have in the kingdom. There's a parable guy who wrote a big book about parables, Klein Snodgrass. He says, all of life is seeking after value. Our relationship with God is the most important part of life. All our other pursuits are trivial by comparison. More specifically, understanding what God has done in Christ and following Jesus is more valuable than all else that we possess. It is clear, too, that we can't be focused on our things and do justice to God's kingdom. God's call trumps all in life, and it is worth it. I know at Thanksgiving, a lot of people like to make a list of things that they are thankful for. You know, I would encourage you this week, sit down and make that list and let the kingdom of God, redemption, relation, riches of God be at the top of your list and consider how you can harness those other things for the benefit of the kingdom. Receive the gospel as a treasure and treasure it above. I grew up in the church, so I've known this parable for many years. And I realize that if we've known it for a long time, it can be easy to be familiar with it, and you know what they say about familiarity. So I thought, you know what, I want to try and take the idea of this parable and bring it into another context. And so I think this kind of gets at what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of heaven is like a family living in a war-torn country under constant threat of attack, barely making it through on a subsistence living. They give up all that they have in order to buy passage to a new nation with democratic ideals and the security of a community that will care for them and the rule of law and justice where it is good. They have given up everything, but they have gained it all. Same with the kingdom. We give up living in the kingdom of the world where worry and money suck the life out of us, to come into a community of faith with God as Father, who rules with grace and truth and peace. That kingdom is worth more than anything we have, and it is worth giving everything to take hold of. So receive it as a treasure, and treasure it above all else. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for this gift that you hold out to us. I confess that it's a little bit abstract in the sense of, what exactly do I have to get rid of, and what should I sell off, or do I sell off things? Lord, we come and we pray that you will show each of us what this means in our own lives. Lord, I pray that you will help all of us to get rid of anything that keeps us from wholehearted devotion to you. I pray too that once you have done that, you will give us eyes to see just how great this treasure truly is. Lord, thank you for loving somebody like me who has wandered in the past, who realized that you were there, and yet I said, God, I'm not letting you have any say in my life. You made me, and so you could have trashed me for that, and yet you didn't. You said instead, oh, you poor prodigal son, stop living on pig scraps and come back and live in my kingdom. Jesus, thank you for receiving us like that. I pray that if there is anyone who is thinking about this, who doesn't yet know that treasure, I pray that you would move in their hearts, give them wisdom and insight to seek you here. Open the door for them. And God, for those of us who have been following you for a long time, I pray that you would help us to treasure what we have. This is an inheritance that will never perish or spoil or fade, that is kept up in heaven for us, and we are being shielded until that time by the very power of God. This is something that is ours when you give it. Thank you. May our hearts be ever more grateful for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together as we respond in song.